Okay, so today we are continuing in our mini-series before Christmas. And so today we're looking at the story from Mary's perspective, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now in that sketch, I'm sure Mary would have loved to have delivered her baby in a lovely pink, squeaky clean hospital suite, just like we saw in the clip. But as we know, things were very, very different from that. So let's have a little look. Okay, so first of all, what do we actually know about Mary? We don't know a great deal about Mary's history, but what we do know from the scriptures is that she was a young Jewish girl from Nazareth. We know that she was probably around 14 to 16, living in a Jewish family, and she was from the lineage of David. She was from the tribe of Judah, and so we know these things. And we also know that when you think of Nazareth, the place where she was from, was like a little dot on the map. In John, Nathaniel said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" So it was like this little inconspicuous place in the middle of nowhere, like a little backstreet town, a small village in Galilee. And as Matthew said a few weeks ago, this was a very difficult time in the history of Israel. This was a time where they were under Roman occupation. And so taxes were high, jobs were, low, morale was low, morals were slipping, and it was a very difficult time in the history of Israel. And we know that the Jewish nation were waiting for their Messiah. They knew that they were someday was going to be the arrival of their Messiah. And so we know that there was this expectation and anticipation during this time, and we know that Mary was from this place. Now, when we think about Nazareth being such this nondescript little place, the people there would probably have all been farmers. And so agriculture was the mainstay, really. That would indicate at that time that there would have been, quite a poor place. And that they would have been hardworking, perhaps strong-minded. They would have been a loyal community. They would have been Jewish, traditional Jews following the law. And so we know that she would have been from this sort of culture where she would have known, as much as women were educated in those days, the scriptures and the sort of future of Israel, looking and waiting for their Messiah. So it would have been a conservative town and everybody would have known everybody. And so when Mary would most probably have been living with her parents at this time, a young Jewish girl betrothed to Joseph, a carpenter, and looking forward to settling down in marriage and being a typical Jewish woman at that time, raising children, cooking, cleaning, doing the chores, and being part of a God-fearing, close-knit community, just like her mother and probably her mother before her. And so what we do know of Mary is that she was young, she was poor, and she was from Nazareth. All the characteristics that one would assume would disqualify her from being the most important mother of the most important baby in the whole of the world. And yet, this teaches us something, that no matter who we are and where we are from, God can use us, and it gives us real hope. Out of all the queens and the princesses and the daughters of really wealthy and affluent and influential leaders of the day, God chose Mary, an ordinary Jewish girl, young from Nazareth. So these are the things that we do know. Now, the Mary that we see in the Gospels was a woman full of faith in her God. And we see three vital characteristics in her that are really helpful for us to glean from today. The first thing we see is her obedience. She was obedient to her calling. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce the news that she was going to be Jesus' mother, we see such a willing response. I mean, angels don't usually make appointments when they visit. And so here we see this young woman going about her daily chores, her daily tasks, maybe collecting water or preparing a meal or tidying up or whatever. And then, bam, she was just in the presence of this angelic being with the news that she just couldn't believe, that she must have been so shocked, so bewildered, bemused, puzzled, and no doubt frightened. And this was her response after her conversation with Gabriel. "I am willing, let it be to me as you have said." And a person's character is often revealed by his or her response to the unexpected. And what could be more unexpected than an angel turning up whilst in the middle of carrying out some mundane, boring daily chores? And sometimes God's best servants are often those ordinary people who are willing and are obedient and, most importantly, available to him, prepared to just sort of drop things to turn and be, you know, fully trusting in God for the plan that he may have for them. And God often speaks to people and calls them while they are busy, while they are just doing ordinary things, while they are planning their life, while they are planning what they're going to do, what they're going to work as, what career path they're going to take, what, where they're going to live, where they're going to spend their lives, where, you know, wherever they're wanting to go and see in their own life a path. And God often speaks to people during this time. And when we think of Moses and David, they were tending sheep when God called them. And when we think of Gideon, he was threshing wheat, you know, busy doing daily life and doing stuff. And then when we think of Peter, when Jesus called Peter, he was mending his nets, just getting on with daily life. And, you know, God sometimes interrupts our plans. Just here, like we see, you know, God really interrupting Mary's life, probably just looking forward to settling down like her mum and mother before her, looking forward to making wedding plans. And here, the angel Gabriel comes with a message from God that she was going to completely interrupt and change the course of her life. Sometimes when we're planning to do something and bam, we feel God speak to us, maybe through a person, maybe through a dream, maybe through the scriptures that we may be reading. And sometimes we feel God speak to us and then we come to a crossroads in our lives and we think to ourselves, well, you know, what do I want to do with my life? Do I want to go the way I think I should go, or the way my parents think I should go, or the way society thinks I should go? Or do I consider and take seriously some of the plans that God would have for me? And then we sort of branch out in faith and we pursue God in a sort of a different path. And this is what we see happening here to Mary. It's a bit like a ship being steered away from danger. Or we see somebody or something being brought into our lives by the hand of God to kind of turn us onto a course that God knows is best for us to carry out his plans and purposes. Now, that happened to us when Adam and I were 17. We first met Julian, and Julian came to Llanelli to do a youth mission on a Saturday afternoon. And I honestly think if we hadn't met Julian that day, at that time of our lives when we were 17, when we were deciding what course of education to take, where we were going to live, when we were going to marry. And that was a very pivotal time for us. And I'm sure God brought Julian into our lives then, in that time, in that place, for the purposes that we have seen outworked in our lives over the last 25 years. And I'm really grateful for that. So thanks for coming across the bridge, Julian. It was very nice to meet you. And so Mary is a model for us, as she was obedient to the call and the plans and the purposes of God to bring about the most important event in history, the birth of God's Son and Saviour and rescuer to the whole world. And so why is obedience important to God? Because God loves us more than anybody else does, and he wants the best for us. And when we are obedient, it shows God that we are willing and that we trust him and that we love him and that we are prepared to put our lives completely in his hands. And so obedience is the true test of our love for God. And he wants our obedience more than anything else because it shows that we truly do love him. The second characteristic in Mary is the humility that she shows. And it says here in Luke, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." And this is from Mary's song. And here we see Mary had found favour with God. But finding favour with God did not lead to an easy path and an easy life for Mary. We know God interrupted her plans and he even led her through some suffering. But she remained humble and she trusted in God. In Peter it says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you." Now, humility stems from understanding who God is and that he is sovereign and that all that we are and all that we do have been entrusted to us by God to live out and to be used for his purposes and his glory. And humility is not thinking of yourself less. Sorry, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. And that's a great quote by C.S. Lewis. Let's just think about that for a minute. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but but it's thinking of yourself less. Humility teaches us that pride is always lurking about in our hearts. It's always there, ready to pounce. Pride can often have very serious consequences in our lives. We all know what it's like when we've got that proud person in work. They never say sorry. They're always right. They have no consideration towards other people's thoughts, feelings, and contributions. And so we all have those proud people in our lives. And we know that proud people can really damage teams and damage families and damage churches. And so pride is really sometimes at the root of a lot of our struggles. It is like the sort of root to a lot of sin, if you like. You know, here we can just see like the roots, you know, the roots in our lives that sometimes cause us to be so proud. And then the opposite of that is the humility, and it is like the roots of all virtues. Now, we constantly battle pride. It can be at the root of a lot of our issues. And so just a couple of tips to throw out there, especially as we go into a Christmas season when people can rub us up the wrong way and some of our less favoured qualities arise. We do constantly battle. We are human. So some tips to stay humble. Be open to others' opinions. Oh, I love that. It's good, isn't it? Be open to other people's opinions. Admit our mistakes and say sorry. That's so hard. That's really hard. Who hate saying sorry when they know they're wrong. It's tough, isn't it? Because we're proud and we want to be right. So admit our mistakes and say sorry. Just do it quickly. Just don't think about it. Just do it quickly. It's much easier. Listen. Listening is such a good quality to have. And the older you get, the more you realise that listening is something that people really, really appreciate. Just to be given that time. Just to be given that listening ear. Just so they feel understood and that they kind of like a burden shared is a burden halved. So listen. Be considerate in conversation. If you've ever been around somewhere in a meeting or in a party and it's just one person dominating the conversation all the time, be considerate in conversation. Avoid bragging. That's good, isn't it? Avoid bragging. Appreciate the talents and qualities of others and remain teachable and accountable. So these are just some little tips to stay humble, to help us stay on course, you know, as we sort of pursue our lives, you know, as Christians and as believers. And, you know, we want to like engage with people so that we can show that, you know, Jesus is real and that he's changed our lives. And this is it's a continuing thing, isn't it, where we are changing to become more like Jesus. Pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. And so we see a real humble heart in Mary. The third quality that we see in Mary from the scriptures is that her faith was huge. What is faith? It is the complete trust and confidence in someone or something. And here we see her attitude of faith. It's like this complete faith and this complete trust in God with a path that she was about to embark on. And in Hebrews, it talks about faith. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen, and it is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is more than believing something to be true with our minds. Faith also impacts how we live our lives every day. Our actions reflect what we believe. Faith is an active, living thing, isn't it? When we say we live by faith and we have faith, sometimes we have to take a leap of faith. And that is then when we really know if we trust and love and really have our faith in God. So our actions reflect what we believe. So when Gabriel told Mary she would miraculously bear a child from the Holy Spirit, not only did she believe it would happen, but she adjusted her life with God's will. And sometimes there are seasons in our lives where we feel God is speaking to us or directing us. And sometimes there are adjustments that we need to make in our lives for those purposes to come to pass. She responded with willingness to do whatever God wanted her to do. In Luke, it says, "I am the Lord's servant," she responded. "May it be to me what you have said." And so Mary had to trust God that Joseph would not leave her. She had to trust in God that she wouldn't be stoned. She had to trust in God with all the gossip and the hearsay and all the things that would be going on around in her small village where people would inevitably be accusing and talking and gossiping about her. You know, she really had to trust God with all of these things. She had to trust God for the protection of her family as they travelled and as they fled and ran to Egypt and had to escape Herod. You know, Mary had to trust God a lot and had to really put her faith in him for the protection of that wonderful baby that was blessed to her. And so faith is more than believing in our head. Faith involves action. And so will we change our priorities at times so they are in line with God's priorities for our lives? Are we willing to prioritise our time and resources the way God wants us to? And in James it says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a person claims to have faith but has no deeds? Faith in action affects our head, it affects our heart, and it affects our hands. It's very much an active, living thing that we carry out on a daily basis." And so we think of these things, her obedience, her willingness, and her humility and her faith are three characteristics which we see, which in some ways you think, well, you know, no wonder God used her because she had these characteristics so that she was willing to completely submit her life to the plan and purpose of God to bring about this wonderful, amazing event in history, which was Jesus coming to earth, God's only son. And so we think of Mary's memories of her first Christmas, and it says Mary treasured or kept these memories in her heart. And some memories would have been very painful for Mary and bemusing, and some would have been remarkable and wonderful. Some of those memories she would have carried or pondered in her heart, some of those wonderful memories of the shepherds and the angel and the wise men and all the amazingness surrounding Jesus' birth. And yet there was that dreaded journey, there was the fear of her baby being killed, there was the fleeing to Egypt, there was the words of Anna and Simeon that a sword would pierce her soul, and knowing that in the future that there was going to be pain and suffering, that this baby was going to grow into a man that was going to save the world. And whether or not she knew exactly all the details at that time, but she kept and pondered and had all of these memories, the pain and the privilege, the wonderful things and the difficult things in her heart. And she probably couldn't grasp it all. Such a unique chain of events for such a young person, for such a young life. It's amazing when we consider all that Mary would have had to kind of go through and adapt her life to. But motherhood for Mary was a painful privilege. It was a painful privilege. And life for us is full of contrast, isn't it? In each of our lives, there is pain and there is privilege. And as we remember, you know, we think of like this little baby growing, the privilege of seeing him develop and grow and becoming a toddler and, growing into this wonderful person. And then there's the pain, and then there's the, hard times where she would have seen her son suffer and be ridiculed and whipped and scourged and finally hang on a cross for the sins of the world and for her own sins. Can you imagine that for Mary, standing there looking at the cross, seeing her son die for the sins of the world? I mean, such pain and yet such privilege. And for us, as we go into this Christmas season, you know, for all of us, we carry different memories in our hearts, don't we? We think of Christmas memories gone by for our own childhoods or for our own lives or the lives of our family. And there are many different memories, some sad, some happy, some funny, and some really, really painful. So let's not kid ourselves. Christmas, for a lot of people, is not a jolly, festive time and happy. It often brings back sad times. It often reminds us of those people who are no longer at the Christmas dinner table. And so let's be thoughtful and mindful for all of those people, you know, that we spend our Christmases with, that we are considerate, and that we are really, like, loving over this season that can be quite difficult for people at times. And I can remember as a child, our first Christmas celebrations would be when a family friend would fly in from Barcelona. And these were the happy memories. And we'd have really happy memories of this guy, friend of the family, didn't speak a word of English. We'd pick him up from the train station. He'd come to our house. He'd arrive with a big suitcase full of Spanish goodies. And this is going back nearly 40 years now. And so you'd open the case and the smell of Spain would just waft out. Salami, chorizo, garlic, red wine, Spanish turon. And as a kid, I used to hate all of those things. It used to be disgusting. You'd go into his room to change his bed when he'd leave, and it would just smell of like a Spanish deli, all those musty smells, and garlic and olive oil and red wine. And the house would just be filled with Spain for like a week during his visit. And yet we treasured those memories. We tucked those memories up in our heart. And it would be like the sign that Christmas was about to begin. And then there are times when I can remember my parents going down the pub for a couple of drinks with their friends on Christmas Eve and coming home and shouting and arguing and fighting and bawling at each other, because it's a stressful time, Christmas is, isn't it? And it really can bring out the worst in people. And I can remember as a little girl sitting on the top of the stairs listening to my parents fight and argue. And I used to think, I don't think we're going to have any Christmas presents tomorrow. because my sister was 5 years younger, and there's certainly going to be no Christmas dinner because our parents are probably going to be so hungover that who's going to want to boil up a pan of sprouts? And it was just, you know, those sad times, we carry these memories with us of, you know, good times and sad times, and we all have those different experiences. And so what I want to just bring it all back down to today is that the season of Christmas is all about Jesus, isn't it? And for us not to just get caught up in the westernised, oh, everything's got to be perfect, everyone's got to be happy. Because let's face it, Christmas can be a really stressful time. And who wants to spend time on Christmas Day, the one day off a year you get, with, you know, people you don't really like, just because they're family, just because they're related to you. You know, it's like a wedding where you've got to invite Auntie so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so and Uncle, any Jim's, your Uncle Jim and Uncle Auntie, you know, Jean or whatever. And you think you don't even like these people, and yet you're forced on Christmas Day to be hospitable and kind and buy them a present, and you don't see them for the rest of the year. And so, you know, Christmas sometimes can be pretty stressful, and we would much rather be with our friends in a nice little cafe or restaurant having a nice quiet little do and just spend £2 on a secret Santa for each other. Wouldn't that be easier? And so Christmas is a lot of things for a lot of people. And so let's just bring the focus back to Jesus is the reason for the season. And to not focus on all the stress and all the hassle and the family turmoil, but to just really kind of find, you know, that peace this Christmas where Jesus is the reason for the season. And when we consider Mary bringing to birth this wonderful person that we have relationship with now, is just such an awesome, amazing thing. And the thing I just really feel is that God just wants to bring us hope. You know, Christmas is a time of hope. It's a time of renewed hope. It's a time of fresh hope as we consider the fact that Jesus has come to this earth to forgive us for the things we've done wrong, that we can have that forgiveness now and live in the fruit of that forgiveness, that peace and that joy and that contentment that he brings into our lives when we respond to him and we invite him into our lives, saying sorry for those things, asking him for his strength and help to live out this life here on earth and that future hope of eternity in heaven forever. I mean, sometimes we just don't appreciate fully what we have, and we just think of it as, oh yes, you know, I became a Christian when I was this age and it's all very nice. But the reality of what we actually believe is life-changing and wonderful. And Christmas is the time where we should and hopefully be thankful for that in a real way. And that we just find that renewed, fresh hope as we go into the new year. And so Jesus impacted the world and he impacts our lives now. And this message from 2,000 years ago, isn't it? It's timeless, isn't it? And as we sort of go into the season of Christmas services and inviting our friends, let's be really confident that people are wanting to hear. They are wanting to have hope for themselves. They are wanting answers. They are wanting a community of acceptance and love. And we can be that community for your friends and your family and your work colleagues as we have the confidence to invite them and encourage them to come to things over these next few weeks. Okay, and we're going to finish there, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song. But before I play a song, last night I went for a walk. It was very late, and I don't know if anybody saw the sky last night. It was absolutely sparkling. It was clear. It was crisp. The stars were suspended in the sky. They were clear, beautiful, and it was such a gorgeous evening. I walked over to the park with my dogs about midnight, and I lay on one of these saucer swings because I really love looking up at the stars, and there's nowhere to do it in my garden because we're overlooked by hedges and things. So I just lay in the park with my woolly hat on and my dog, and I just lay there looking up at the sky, just sort of waiting in the presence of God and just absolutely being amazed at his creation and just being taken out of the house and all the stuff going on there, just to rest under that sky, knowing that God, my Father in heaven, had created the heavens that I was looking up at, and yet he was in us as well. He's in me, he's in you when we've received him and invited him into our lives. And as I just laid there, I just closed my eyes and I was just praying and worshiping, not thinking of anything in particular, and I just saw this picture of this pear, and I was eating a pear. And I was munching away at this pear and all the lovely juices and enjoying the fruit and the benefits of this pear. And then I kind of took the seeds out of the pear and I planted them in a pot. And I saw that pot, the seed, grow into a seedling. Then I watered it and nurtured it and cared for it and gave it sunlight. and then the seedling grew into a plant and then a tree that was transplanted outside, and then that tree grew and bore fruit. And I just had a sense in my spirit that God this morning really wants to speak to us about sometimes in our lives we benefit from the fruit of others, don't we? A word of advice, a pearl of scripture, help, love, a good deed, encouragement. And these are like the fruit God gives us through others. And we enjoy the fruit and we benefit from the fruit. And then sometimes when we're kind of done with that, we either put it on the back burner or discard the core. But I just saw this taking those seeds and transplanting them into other people's lives. So some of those things that we have received from God, from others, through him, through his word, through different things, I just feel that this is a season of, like, it's the whole reaping and sowing thing, isn't it? About taking those seeds that we have benefited from and then transplanting them into somebody else's life. So that seed of love, encouragement, help, pearl of wisdom, help with understanding something from the Bible to help benefit our Christian lives or whatever it is, then grows in that person, and it's the whole principle of reaping and sowing. And so let's just consider during this song some of those things that we've really been blessed with, benefited from, been taught, been helped by, that maybe this is a season where, you know, God would really encourage you to then take that seed from that fruit and transplant it into another person's life by doing exactly what that person has done to you, for you, into somebody else's life, if that makes any sense. Does that make sense? Okay, so this song is called Noel. And the word Noel is from the Latin, which means news. And it's also interpreted into French, nouvelles, which means birth. And so we want to finish this morning, before we go into the busy time of tonight, to just think of the good news of the birth of Jesus, how it has impacted the world, how it has impacted you personally. And now as we transplant these seeds that God has given to us into the lives of others, how Jesus' birth and good news is going to now affect those people. And I really, really feel and believe that next year we are going to see so many more people find the love and the care and the salvation that Jesus brings, and we're going to see this place a lot fuller. And it starts with us and those seeds, okay? So we're going to play the song. It's called Noel. Just take this time now, before going into tonight and the busy season, just to consider what Jesus has done in your life. And just to thank him and praise him and just be really grateful for your salvation. And if you're not, and if you're here today and you've like really don't really know what Jesus means and how you can access this thing, then I just want to give you the opportunity to say, look, Jesus, I don't understand everything, but I believe that you came as a baby at Christmas, and I believe that you came to forgive me for the things I've done wrong. And I really want you to come and live in my life and lead my life. And I put my faith and my trust in you, just like Mary did 2,000 years ago, into the hand of God. And that we give our lives to God and we receive him as Christmas, you know, at Christmas this year. And that will really change our lives and set us on a whole new course for the purposes of God. So why don't we just close our eyes? I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit, and then we're just going to play the song, and then we're going to finish. Jesus, you came as a baby to this earth, and we just thank you that we can read about the accounts. But the reality is, Lord, that you are real, that you are alive in us today. And we thank you so much, Holy Spirit, that you are with us, you love us, you care for us. And we just pray over this Christmas season that as we consider some of these things, you would really bless this time and help us to just focus on the real reason of Christmas, and that is you, and how you can love and change lives. In Jesus' name, amen.